Okay. John chapter 16. Let's look in our Bible together this morning. I hope you got a Bible and follow along. These things have I spoken unto you, Jesus said to his disciples, that ye should not be offended. Now listen to what's going to happen to the disciples. And the reason I'm talking about this today is this reason, and I wish the whole church could be here. Because I believe we're going to have some hard days ahead, church. Things is not going too good in our leadership in this country. We may even have war this week with Russia and Ukraine. It's getting very close. It's getting very tense over there. And not only that, Israel is having a lot of problems too. So I believe there's going to be some dark days ahead. We as Christian people better be on our toes, so to speak. I don't know what we may have to go through. You know, the stores, the shelves are not as full in places as it's supposed to be. They can't get car parts. They can't get lawnmower parts. There's a lot of places they can't get what they need. So I don't know how bad it's going to get in this country. And so my sermon today, my thoughts today, is to kind of prepare your heart. And it's sad that the church is not here to hear it. Because I think it's going to get rough, according to the Bible. According to the Bible now, not according to me. The Bible talks about it's going to get kind of rough. And I don't know how far it'll get before the rapture takes place. Because I do believe in the rapture, and I do believe it could happen any second. Because that's what the Bible teaches, the intimate rapture of the church. It's the next event on God's calendar for the church, by the way. So, Jesus said to his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you. He's talking to the disciples now. He's not talking to us here. Let's rightly divide the word of God. You got to do that. He's talking to the disciples themselves here. He's fixing to leave them and go to the cross, and then go home to heaven. So I want to put that in this context for you. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whoever killeth you. Did you hear that? Kill the disciples. He said, listen, yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. You know, the Muslims think like that now. They'll chop your head off, think they've pleased God. That's where we're at in the world at today, folks. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. See, their understanding is darkened. They're dead in their sin. They don't know God. They're serving the God of this world and don't know it, which is Satan. And verse 4 says, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. The reason I hadn't already told you this, Jesus said, it wasn't time for me to tell you. I had to prepare you for it. He said, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now Jesus is telling his disciples he's about to leave them. And they're all upset because they had fell in love with Jesus. They had been following him for over 3 years, learning about his program and what he wanted them to do. And now the time for him to go to the cross, go back home, was arriving. And they were going to be left without the Lord in their physical presence. But But later on, he's going to tell them about the Holy Spirit and his work. And I'm going to talk about some of that today with you. In these verses, Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen to them after they go away. You know, you and I are God's children today. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour. Do any of y'all know? No, not for sure. But the Lord knows. But we're to be trusting the Lord all the time, every day. We're to be looking for the Lord. And also we're to be living for the Lord, church. We're a called out people. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ to live a godly life, a holy life, a committed life. Well, we're to live a committed life. I'm going to go through briefly something that happened to the disciples. And I want you to listen to the... Now, the disciples were the apostles, and many of them were used in writing the scriptures themselves. God used Matthew, Luke, John, Jude, James, later on Paul, Timothy, but all of them weren't apostles. Matthew, let's talk about Matthew. You know what happened to Matthew? He suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia. Somebody killed him with a sword. That was one of the disciples of the Lord. He was the one that was a tax collector. And Jesus walked by his booth and said, "Follow me." He didn't even think twice. He got up and left that job. You ever had a job you just like to get up and leave it? Amen. Then there was Mark. Now, like I said, Mark wasn't an apostle, but he traveled with Paul on several occasions. He died in Alexandria, Egypt. Listen to how they kill him, Mark, in the Gospel of Mark. He wrote that. He was dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. You ever seen the old westerns and a guy falls off his horse and his boots hung in the stirrup and the horse drags him to death? That's the way to kill Mark. And Luke, he was called Luke the physician. He was a doctor, but he was with Paul a lot, writing the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Luke was hanged in Greece because he was preaching to the lost. Hanged. John the apostle, tradition says, he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil. But he miraculously survived it. And he was later persecuted in Rome and put on the Isle of Patmos. And there Jesus appeared to him in the book of Revelation about 95 A.D. And he's the only one of the apostles that didn't die. He didn't die by martyrdom. He died a natural death. He's the only one of the 12. Peter, he was crucified upside down on an X cross. He didn't want to be crucified on a cross like Jesus, so he requested an X cross. He also requested, I don't want to be hung upright. I want you to hang me upside down. And that's how they got rid of Peter. And I have read where Peter's wife requested the same thing. James, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, was thrown over a 100-foot cliff southeast of the temple. And because he wouldn't he wouldn't deny his faith in Christ, so they threw him 100 foot down over a cliff. And he survived the fall. It didn't kill him. So the enemies beat James to death with fuller clubs. They just fell in on him, beat him to death. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. And the Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. The officer was so impressed, he became convicted himself. And when James was led to have his head chopped off, this guard knelt down beside James and requested, "Chop off my head too." Talk about people that believed in Christ in those days, church. Yeah. Bartholomew, known as Nathanael, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for the Lord in present-day Turkey, what we know today as Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, and he was frayed to death by a whip. In other words, they just about skinned him alive. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece after being whipped severely by 7 soldiers. They tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led to the cross, Andrew saluted the cross in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour." He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired. Thomas, the doubter, was stabbed with a spear in India, and that's how he was killed. Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle that replaced Judas Iscariot, was chosen to replace Judas. He was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. You see how people that were godly, committed, died? They wouldn't deny the Lord. Boy, I hope I can have that much faith, commitment, Brother Chaffetz. I'll tell you something. They're not the only ones. People are suffering like that today for Christ in some of these countries. Same way. They really are. They really are. North Korea, China, other places. We're in an evil world, church. And God has sheltered us for many years here. How long will He keep sheltering us? Because this country has rejected the Word of God. This country has rejected Jesus Christ. This country has said we evolved. There's no God. Oh, folks, coming a sad day for most of the world. Jesus said most people's going to wind up in the lake of fire. I tell you, folks, I'm just a little old country preacher, but I'm going to tell y'all something. That book is the Word of God, every word of it. I know it is. I don't believe it is. I know it is. I've gone past the belief. I know it is. The Apostle Paul warned us in the last days how it would be. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, Paul said. For men will be lovers of self. You ever seen so much lovers of self? We're all so important. It's me, myself, and I. Selfishness is one of the kings of our and sins of our country today. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. I'm going to tell you something. People will kill you for 50 cents. They'll kill you for 50 cents. Yeah. boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Can't reconcile with some people. Sorry. That's the way it is in a sin-cursed world. So you better be planted on solid ground yourself. Because when we trust Christ, we're reconciled to God. But there are some folks you can't reconcile. You cannot do it. Talks about those without self-control. They just, well, look up in the northern states at these people. They're on a train in California, and they're going through all the packages that's coming from these different places where people order. And they're going through and getting the merchandise out of the packages and throwing the boxes out on the sidewalk there. And the police are doing nothing. Nothing. Our laws are upside down now, folks. Yeah. Disobedient to parents. You ever seen so many children disobeying parents today? Oh, folks, they're not getting any home training. They're not being disciplined. I'll tell you what, my mama used to run us to the peach tree to get what we were going to get disciplined with, amen? Today, if you were disciplined, if you disciplined a child today like we were disciplined, they'd put you under the jail. Did you know that? That's the way they got the law now. I'll tell you what, I tried to raise my children right. The Bible says they're haters of good, they're treacherous, they're reckless, they're conceited, they're lovers of pleasure. That, see, this is where we're at today in our country. This country's a lover of pleasure. I just ain't gonna work. I'm gonna let the government feed me. I'll tell you what, folks, it's getting bad when somebody without no money and no job can get a $175,000 house built for them free. It's coming to something, and that's what's happening in this society. And I couldn't even buy a tent today. You think that helps somebody like me? No. But if you get on certain programs in this country today, I mean, you don't have to work. They'll feed you. The Bible says that we're living in a time when everything is reckless, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness. Everybody's going to heaven now if you ask them. Everybody's going to heaven. I'm a good person. I'm as good as them people over at the church. Sure you are. Everybody's as good as us. I'm an old sinner that had to be saved myself. That's the problem. They don't know and believe they're a sinner. If you don't know you're a sinner, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to bust it wide open. You can't get out. Well, it makes no difference who you are or what you think. That's what Jesus said. He said you got to be born again. You got to know you're lost. If you don't know you're lost, you're a pitiful person. I'm telling y'all the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. A lot of people, a lot of churches. We got a lot of churches. I'm afraid most of the church will be left behind when it's raptured because they had religion. They were just religious. Yeah. Sad, isn't it? The devil's sharp, folks. He's sharper than me and you. He knows how to keep you away from Jesus. You better be determined. I want to get my soul saved. I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to ask Jesus to save me and start serving him. Start serving him. That's what we need today. We need the church to serve the Lord, brother. Not be bench warmers. serve the Lord. Jesus told his disciples when he was going to go away, he's going to send somebody else in his place. Amen? You know who he's going to send? The third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit by a lot of these people today, that the way they misrepresent him. I'll say it that way. The Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the disciples were so saddened that Jesus was leaving them, he told them he was going away, but he was going to send a comforter to be with them. Someone else was going to come be with them, though, although he was gone, the comforter would be with them. And Jesus proceeded to tell the disciples what the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be, what he would do. And notice it's a he. The Holy Spirit's not it. You don't have an it in you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. A person. Did you get that? A person. And you are a temple. He's living in you. And he has a ministry he's carrying out in you if you are saved. Amen? And while Jesus is going to heaven, he's going to ask the Father to send a comforter to come from heaven. And one of his ministries, the ministers of the Holy Spirit, you know what his ministry, one of them is? One of them, he's got a lot of them. One of them is to draw us to Christ. You can't get saved on your own. You got to be drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the only way that works is for you to hear the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit takes that. When a sinner hears it, he begins to work on his heart and his mind, convict and draw. And that's the only way you can get saved. And so if you stay out of church, you don't read the Bible, you don't listen to gospel anywhere, you'll just have a fun life and go to hell. Yep, that's the way it is. You got to hear the gospel. If you don't want to go to church, you ain't got time. That's the reason I've always said, don't get you a job that'll keep you on working on Sundays. Get you a job where you can come to church on Sunday and hear the gospel. I can't make as much money. Fluid with the money. Your soul is more precious than the money. Yeah. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you I go away, for I go not away. The comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He told his disciples that. Now, the third person of the Godhead would begin a ministry forming the church of Jesus Christ. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's forming the church of Jesus Christ. How's he doing that, preacher? Everybody that he brings to Christ, draws to Christ, they come repenting of their sin, believing in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, when they believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit borns them again. He regenerates them because we're all dead. Our spirit's dead. Dead to God. And you can't make it alive. Your physical body's alive, but you're spiritually dead. But when we believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit, He borns us again. He quickens us. He makes us alive unto God. And we become children of God and are saved by the grace of God for eternity, folks. That's how secure our salvation is. That's how secure. So the Holy Spirit's a person. He's co-equal with God the Father and with God the Son. The Bible says when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Have you ever thought about how people everywhere hate Jesus? They hate the Bible. They hate God. They hate Christians. Why does people be like that? Why are people like that? We've never bothered them, but why are they like that? The Bible says it's because he reproves the world of sin. You see, the world and the Holy Spirit are complete opposites. The Holy Spirit is holy, and the world don't like holiness, folks. The world don't want to hear I'm a sinner. The world don't want to hear you're going to hell. They don't want to hear that. But that's what the Holy Spirit's revealing. Am I telling you the truth? Well, you see how good the devil kept them out, don't you? You see that? Yeah. Yeah. The world, don't want me to preach. Don't want you to preach. And I'm telling you what, listen to me carefully. Our own government is working towards eliminating us. More than you might think. They don't like us. I don't care if we got religion now, because religion don't talk about people going to hell or got to be born again. No. See, there's a difference. The old devil's a liar. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, the Holy Spirit will do that, and of righteousness. The Holy Spirit says, hey, you got to live godly. Who wants to live godly? I can't go at the bar. I can't gamble. You ought to see these places up in Lumberton that's been filled with people gambling during the snow. But I bet you they're not in church today. Amen? Amen? They won't be in church next Sunday either. Yeah. I'll tell you what, folks. I'm glad the Lord saved this old sinner. The Holy Spirit's going to do three things when he comes. He's going to reveal the need for salvation. How many of y'all in here today realize you need salvation? Everybody realize that? Amen? You need salvation. We're lost. And God loves us. And God sent us a Savior. Yeah. We need salvation. It's the greatest. You know what the greatest sin in all the world is? What do you think the greatest sin in all the world is? You can answer it to yourself. What do you think the worst sin is? It's unbelief. Unbelief is the worst. It's the only sin you can't get forgiveness of. If you fail to believe, unbelief will send you to hell. That's the truth. The Bible says in 16:10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, Jesus said, and you see me no more. Jesus has gone back to the Father, and what he has accomplished by dying for sin, all who will believe in him can receive his righteousness by faith. Now, Jesus lived here 33 and a half years, they think. Okay, he lived here that long. He never once sinned in word, thought, deed, or intention. He never sinned. He was holy all. He pleased the Lord in everything he did. Don't you know them disciples felt odd around Jesus, brother? Don't you know? I feel odd just thinking about it. Jesus never sinned. He was a holy man. One of these days, we're going to heaven. We're going to be the same way. Won't that be something, folks? I'm going to have a Baptist fit when I get there. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, we're going to have Christ's same righteousness. We're not going to get to heaven on my righteousness, how good I did and what all I did. I'm not going to heaven on them conditions. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. And I'm given his righteousness when I believe in him. That's the only way you can get to heaven, by what he did, not what you did, I did. Boy, you know, over there in John chapter 7, I believe it is. No, Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus talks about them people that at the judgment, that's, they go up to the Lord and tell them all they've done and what they've done. And Jesus said, I never knew you. So you can't tell God you've done anything to go to heaven, because you can't do anything to go to heaven. I can't do anything. It's what Jesus did, folks. Salvation is about what Jesus did. And to believe in him, you're given his salvation as a gift of God. Isn't this great news? Folks, hey, folks, the parking lot shouldn't hold the people wanting to get saved. Yes, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down suddenly, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000. When they heard Peter's preaching, Peter got up and started preaching when the Holy Spirit came down on them in Acts chapter 2. They were so convicted of their sin, they didn't realize they had crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that, folks. And Peter's up there, boy, that man was laying it on them. And they got convicted, and 3,000 got saved initially, and a few days later, there was 5,000 more added to it. People were just getting saved and getting saved. When I grew up on a farm 80-something years ago, people would go to church at revival time. I need to get saved. People don't need to get saved no more. I don't ever hear anybody wanting to get saved. Why? I think secularness, pleasure, the love of the things of this world, and God's hand has been withdrawn from our society. Yeah, religion has took over. Look at all the Jehovah Witnesses. All of them going to hell. They believe in the wrong Jesus. All the Mormons going to hell. They believe in the wrong Jesus. All the Muslims going to hell. Buddhists going to hell. Think of all the people going to hell, folks. Why? They don't want to accept the one that died on the cross to pay for their sin. We sit here today and preach. Do you think any of them come in here and want to get saved? No. No. We're on 15 radio stations right now. You think people are calling in. But preacher, send me more info. No. No. I'm telling the truth. My soul. People are not concerned about their soul, folks. All of this is an indication of the rapture of the church at any second. Because the last church in the Bible, the church of the Laodiceans, Jesus said about that church, which represents our age, that church represents our age, that church makes the Lord sick. And I'm afraid that's what's going on in amongst churches today. They make the Lord sick. It's entertainment today. It's making people feel good today. You remember the church? There's one guy got a church. He won't put anything up like a cross or anything that would cause somebody to be offended. Folks, listen. I'm going to preach what the Bible says. If you get offended, that's your problem. It ain't mine. I got to be judged for what I preach. I got to be judged for what I preach. I tell you what. That's going to be an awesome day when I have to stand to be judged for what I've been preaching 50 years. I'm trying to preach truth. Warn people. Jesus said in John 16:10 of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus has gone back to his Father, and he has what he's accomplished for sin. All believers can receive his righteousness. You want to be a righteous person? Only one way to be righteous is not by being good. It's by believing on Jesus Christ and living like he tells us to live. That's how you're righteous. in John 16:11, a judgment call, the prince of this power is judged. I got some good news to tell you folks right here. Do you all know that the devil's been judged? Did you know his power's already been broken? Jesus crushed his head when he died on the cross and rose from the grave. Jesus, that crushed Satan's power right there. That just nailed it. Oh, that didn't feel too good either. Jesus just nailed him to his doom. He nailed him to his doom. And on the day of Pentecost, when he came down, 3,000 were saved. And in John 16:12, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. And Jesus told his disciples, he had these things to tell them, but they weren't ready for it. And that's a lot of our cases today. We know a lot of things about the Lord, but you know, the more you study, the more you praise the Lord and seek the Lord, the more the Lord opens us up our understanding of the Scriptures and the things that's coming on this world. And folks, there's some bad things are coming. There's some bad things are coming. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he's going to guide you into all truth. You're a born-again believer, the Lord's guiding you to truth. I think all these cult churches, what's the problem is, see, they're not guided to truth. They believed in the wrong Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's not guiding them to truth. See, even the Jewish people, most of them are lost because they don't accept Jesus as their Messiah. There's a few Messianic Jews that's been saved. They're Christians. But most Jews, they won't accept Jesus. The Jesus they want is the one that's going to raise them up, make them the head of all the nations. Well, he is going to do that. But not now. Not now. Sometimes God's going to give us things, but not now. You might have to wait. You might have to wait before God gives you what he wants to give you. And so I've been waiting 50 years. Amen. Amen. When the Spirit will come, he'll guide you into all truth. This was a promise to the apostles. You remember when the apostles came along? They didn't have any of the New Testament. None of it was written until after 50 A.D., after Jesus had died. So all they had was the Old Testament to preach by. And then about after 50 A.D., they started writing some of the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians, the Gospel of Mark, I think, was the first gospel. And the Gospel of John is thought not to be written until around A.D. 90. So you see how long a time to get all the scriptures written. It took up to A.D. 95 when Revelation was finally written. So it is almost a whole century before the first century Christians had all the Word of God. Now, you and I have been blessed. We've had all the Word of God all of our life. Amen? We have God's full revelation. We know what's going to happen. And we better be looking and preparing for what's going to be happening, folks. In John 16:13, whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And you see, the Holy Spirit has moved upon these men that's wrote the Bible and told us of things to come that they themselves didn't know about when they were living. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's amazing, folks. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Once this church is zapped out and that Antichrist comes on the scene with the false prophet, Jesus said that's the worst time in human history. It's going to be, and over half of the world's population, 8 billion people in the world right at it right now, but 4 billion of them will all be gone. The church will be gone out, and then about half the world's population will be killed during the tribulation. Won't that be awful? All these people, 4 billion people killed, and most of them by starvation. A lot of them by starvation. Yeah. He shall glorify me, Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, another ministry of the Lord's Holy Spirit is he's going to glorify Jesus. Do you know something, folks? We got a lot of churches today. If you'd walk in now, all they're talking about is the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. That's not right. According to the Bible now. I'm talking about according to the Bible. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to glorify Christ. What's supposed to be going on in the churches is talking about Jesus, not so much the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming to carry on his ministry. But we're supposed to be worshiping Christ. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the one that died. Christ is the one that shed his blood on a cross for our salvation. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show in it unto you. Jesus told his disciples the Holy Spirit would glorify him. The Holy Spirit does never seek to glorify himself, but to glorify Christ. Jesus is the one who is exalted, not the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of churches today. They're wallowing in the floor. They're wallowing in the floor over the Holy Ghost, they say. I'll tell you what, I think a lot of it's demonic. Personally, that's what I think it is. Some churches major on the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in their service, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit actually promotes Jesus. We're supposed to be talking about Jesus. All things the Father hath given are mine, therefore say I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus gives us an amazing answer when he said, all things the Father hath are mine. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take all the Father had that was his and would show it to his disciples. We have the assurance of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit that we have the will of God when we have the scriptures. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit moved upon holy men of old to give us the scriptures. That was part of his ministry too. In the book of Luke, in the book of Acts, Luke writes in chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord or in agreement in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, it was a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared there unto them, cloven tongues like as fire, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing. And began to speak with other tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. When Peter was up there preaching in Greek, all those 18 other nations was hearing it in their own language. Isn't that amazing? Peter was speaking Greek. But here, all you out here, let's say that each one of y'all spoke a different language. And you didn't understand Greek. But I'm speaking Greek, and y'all hear it in your own language. That's what happened. Isn't that amazing? Tongues means languages, folks. That doesn't mean all this is going on today in the name of I'm speaking in tongues. No such thing in reality and in truth. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached. And 3,000 were saved. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit began, and it will continue to the rapture of the church. When the Holy Spirit has drawn that last unbeliever to salvation in Christ, at that moment, the church will be raptured. That could be at any time. Right now, I understand in some of these third world countries, and even in countries like China, they just lots and lots and thousands of people being saved even today. Underground. They can't do it so much openly, but lots of people are being saved. And when that last one is saved, suddenly the church will be called out. And left behind will be all these people that thought they were all right. And they won't be all right. The Holy Spirit has come to convict every person. I got convicted. You know what? When I was 12 years of age, long in those age, I was scared to go to sleep at night. I might die and go to hell. I don't know whether you ever felt like that or not, but I was that convicted. I was 14 when I finally accepted the Lord. I would have accepted the Lord before that, but the reason I didn't, Mama and Daddy said, you wait till you know what you're doing. Well, if I got to wait that long, you know, I'm still waiting. Yeah, but I knew even before 12 that I believed in the Lord. I believed in the Lord, but at 14, I made it public. You know what? I discovered peace. I never was afraid to go to sleep anymore at night. I'm serious. I was afraid to go to sleep. I might die and go to hell. Folks, there is a hell. I'm about to wind up. So the Holy Spirit has to convict. Have you ever been convicted? Do you know you've been convicted? Do you know you need salvation? Do you know you're a sinner? All that's needed before you can get saved. And you get saved by believing on Jesus as your Savior. And it's like I took her to be my wife. I promised to take care of her, provide for her, be good to her. Am I being good? And, you know, I made a commitment. She did likewise unto death. Hey, when you accept Christ, it's a lifetime commitment, folks. And when you are saved, he gives you eternal life. You know what I just said? He gives you eternal life. You're going to live forever now with Jesus. Now, if you don't receive eternal life, you're going to receive, by rejecting Jesus, you're going to receive eternal death. You'll be alive, but separated from God. That's what that means. In the lake of fire and brimstone. Lake of fire and brimstone. Brimstone means stinking. Hell is going to be a stinking place. Besides all the other attributes it will have. Today, no person is, listen to this carefully, and I'm closing. Listen to this very carefully, because this is very important. Today, no one in this church is more saved than anyone else if you're saved. I don't care who you are. I don't care anywhere in the world. Nobody is no more saved than anybody. When you get saved, that's what the word saved means, zozo in the Greek. You're saved. You've been given eternal life. You're the Lord's now forever. So, and nobody has more of the Holy Spirit than anybody else. Do I need to repeat that too? If you've been saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You are a temple, and you don't have any more than anybody else. The Holy Spirit don't come in parts. He's a person. Amen? He's a person. And the Holy Spirit moves in person. I'll tell you what, our God's awesome, isn't he? He can be in every one of us in here. He can be in every person all over the world. And still, he's everywhere. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. You can't go where there's not no, where the Holy Spirit's not. And where the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is, God is. I mean, the three are one. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Here's the question. Here's the real bottom line. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit you have. You have all of him. But how much does he have of you? That determines how spiritual each of us are. How committed are you? How committed? How surrendered to the Lord? That determines how much of the Holy Spirit has you that He can use to do the work of the Lord. Everybody understand that? So we each one control how much the Holy Spirit can use us. It's on us, not on Him, because we have all of Him. We all are saved just alike. Amen. We're all saved the same way, by faith. We're all saved by faith. We're all given eternal life. We're all going to the same heaven. Our home is the New Jerusalem, as the Revelation chapter 21 shows. Read that chapter. That's your home. Home of the bride. Church is the bride of Christ. There'll be nations on the earth, but we'll be with Christ in the New Jerusalem in eternity. And all of us, when we were saved, every one of us were baptized by the Holy Spirit and put in Christ. We are in Christ. Listen to me carefully. If you are a born-again person, a believer in Jesus, you are in Christ. And where is Christ at, may I ask you? He is at the right hand of the Father. You know where you're at right now, spiritually speaking? You're at the right hand of the Father in Christ. That's how sure you're going to heaven one day if you're born again. Amen? Praise God. Amen? For salvation. Praise God for sending, praise the Lord for sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the Father, He prayed to the Father, send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's come. He's been here 2,000 years, and He's working, forming the church of Jesus Christ, made up of all born-again believers. That's all the people that's going to be in the church of Jesus Christ, just born-again believers. And when the rapture happens, all these fake believers will be left behind. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But you know what? It grieves me. So many is going to be left behind. People in my family. People in your family. People we love, appreciate. And to us, they were good people. But they're going to be left behind. Because they will not believe. They will not give up this life to serve Christ. They just won't. I might someday. No. Today's the day of salvation, church. Today's the day to get saved and start serving the Lord. And what about you? Are you really saved? Do you know you're really saved? If you're not saved, hey, folks, won't you come let somebody talk to you about salvation? Come to the altar this morning. We always give our folks out here a chance to come to the altar every Sunday. Talk to the Lord about your problems. Talk to the Lord about your concerns. Talk to the Lord about people in your family or friends or workers that need salvation. Come pray for them here at the altar. We give you that opportunity today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.